Welcome to the Global Banking Podcast Series. I'm James Arnold, and in these podcasts, we're talking to the senior leaders of UBS Global Banking around the world about the types of work that they do and the ways that they help their clients. So today on the podcast, I'm delighted to be joined by my fellow co-head of Strategic Insights and Advisory, Rick Ferry. Rick, welcome to the podcast.
Pleased to be here. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. So this is going to be a slightly odd podcast in the sense I'm going to be interviewing you, and I guess you're going to be interviewing me a little bit. So let's see how this goes. But I guess let's start with a really, really easy question. Obviously, Strategic Insights and Advisory within Global Banking is the team that we co-run. Why do we exist?
Sure. Well, our team is a rather unique one among our competitors on Wall Street. I think the idea is that in a world of fairly commoditized financial advice, providing novel content, novel analytics, unique ways of looking at and thinking about data is a great way of differentiating ourselves and, more importantly, winning our clients' trust and ultimately helping them solve their problems.
Why don't we start with where your expertise sits? And you've worked with what is a unique return on capital measure, CFROI, for about 20 years now.
Yep.
Talked to corporates about it. So why don't you help us understand the kinds of challenges and problems corporates are facing and how that particular tool helps them navigate markets?
It's about understanding fundamentals. It's about understanding company narrative. It's about understanding the kind of holdings that various buy-side funds have and how those three things interplay to that our clients can action to drive their valuations in the right direction. The fundamentals piece that you just mentioned, it's really, to us, it's about finding the right metrics which tell the right stories to the marketplace. It always amuses me that if you look at the financial press or even equity research, there's a lot of time spent on revenue growth, maybe margins, maybe earnings growth or earnings estimates. And that, to me, really misses the true picture, which is that the valuations of the marketplace are driven by more comprehensive and fundamental ways of measuring business performance than those things. So, yes, CFROI as a return on capital measure is something that we spend a lot of time looking at. We also look at economic profit, EVA kinds of metrics. All this is a way of helping our clients understand the true drivers of their share prices and of their multiple expansion. If we know those things, we can help them pull the levers to drive the business in the right direction.
Yeah, it never ceases to amaze me. So 25 years of being in markets one way or the other, that actually so much of the analysis that occurs is sort of monodimensional. It is earnings at best in lots of cases, and it's earnings with a time frame that's often measured in weeks and months. And as we both know, valuations of businesses are driven by decades worth of return on capital and cash flow assumptions, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the one thing I'll give earnings or EPS numbers credit for is I think it's a useful bellwether periodically to help the market understand that management does have its hand on the tiller. But as a driver of value, there's no evidence to suggest that that does anything. Whereas if you're talking about your returns on capital, growth in the business, measuring risk of the business, those things are fundamental to driving value, again, share price improvements and multiple expansion.
And all of those things get you to a sort of a theoretical fair value answer. But as we talk about a lot within the team, the difference between the share price on the screen and the theoretical fair value of the business is often quite wide.
Yeah, that is an interesting opportunity for us. I mean, we as a team are always expanding and innovating and coming up with new ways of looking at old problems. That one you just described is a great example. I think there's a unique opportunity for us to marry the fundamentals analysis that we do with CFROI to your narrative pieces because marrying that also with market intel, market thematics, because as you said, there's a fundamental value of any business which you can derive by looking at a discounted cash flow model. But as you said, the share price often is well above that, well below that. Filling in those spaces with other intel, I think is a really interesting opportunity for us. And it's something you and I have spent a lot of time looking at and poking at in the last few weeks.
Well, on that, let me talk about narrative.
Yep.
My favorite subject. So, like, as you said, the difference between fundamental value and share price on the screen is huge. Mm-hmm. And we also know probably the most overused phrase in capital markets is, I was just listening to the management team and they were really bullish.
Yeah.
And so what do we do with our narrative analysis? Well, we take equity stories, so the stories that companies tell to capital markets, we turn that into data, we turn the data into pictures, and then we go and talk to the C-suite of our clients around those pictures and what they're telling us. And I guess, again, getting to this idea of client centricity, what are we really trying to help our clients understand? We want them to see what their equity story looks like. We want to see where it's differentiated. We want to see where, in lots of cases, yeah. it really isn't that differentiated. We want to show them how the structure of their language is moving. Is it more positive? Is it less positive? Are you using more complicated language to try and perhaps hide something? Are you using simpler language? But all of those things drive effectively at the same core question, which is, how do we help our companies, the companies that we speak to, tell their equity story in a way that creates a license to operate for a management team? And that's both good and bad.
Yep.
Good license to operate, ability to do M&A, ability for shares to get fairly valued.
Absolutely.
So we go from fundamentals, helping companies understand fundamental valuation, and then we try and help them understand what that equity story looks like. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of recent examples where actually this is no longer a nice to have. This is a must get right for corporate management teams around the world. So maybe turning it back to you then, why don't you touch on the third of the capabilities?
So fund flows. We track about $5.5 trillion of fund flows with hundreds of buy-side institutions around the world. What that gives us insight into and a unique ability to do is to understand the kinds of holdings that these institutions have. So that would mean we can identify that they lean into CFROI stories of between 15 and 20%, growth stories of between 3 and 5% top line, that kind of thing. That is a very powerful insight for us to convey to our clients, because as they look to tap into different sources of equity capital, or in the case of privately held companies contemplating going public, that gives them a unique audience to talk to, people who would be completely on board with their story.
Yes, so we're taking the fundamentals, the CFROI analysis, the return on capital analysis, and mapping it to an enormous data set that we created within the team of what lots of the world's largest fund managers own. And the ability to look at those two things hand in hand is truly unique. But drawing towards an end, I'll tell you about two things that terrify me. So one is the ability to be differentiated.
Yeah.
And maybe your thoughts on that would be really interesting. But secondly, is a failure to innovate.
Yep.
And I think where all sort of differentiated pieces of content fail is they look, say, the same in 12 months' time as they did previous 12 months. So thoughts on those two from your side would be great.
Yeah, I think they're completely related. What is differentiating and amazing and earth-shattering 6 months ago is not going to be that in 6 months from now or 12 months from now. So our team has the need to constantly push out the perimeter of what we do. That means finding other sources of data, other ways of looking at the data, other ways of analyzing the data, maybe even different ways of asking questions than we have done historically. The markets move, market themes change. Our ability to be differentiating for our clients is really dependent upon us continuing to be innovative.
Yeah, and I think that's a key point, isn't it? That we reflect on this a lot, but actually we do all of our best work when we get asked really, really good questions.
I love those.
Our clients, how can you help us solve this problem?
Yeah.
That is when we can get together and do the really creative stuff. Well, look, it's been absolutely fascinating to talk to you in a podcast rather than over a desk as we do most days.
Yeah.
So look, thanks very much for coming on to
thanks
this.
For having me.
And hopefully that everybody who's listened to this has enjoyed and learned something as well.
Great. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Global Banking Podcast Series within UBS with me, James Arnold. Simply to say many thanks for dialing into this one, and hopefully you're listening to the next as well.